Have you ever heard of reframing? It's an incredible method to shift your perspective and approach to a situation in your life. That's what we're talking about in this episode of the Breathe, Love, and Magic podcast. My friend Jane is mentoring a sixth grader who just got the empowering lesson of a lifetime. This story grabbed my heart like nothing else has lately, so I'm sharing it with you in this podcast, so stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Ann Ryan, your go-to intuitive coach bringing real talk to the mystical realm on the Breathe, Love, and Magic podcast. Feel like the universe or your spirit guides aren't delivering? Maybe you're confused by esoteric lingo or which healing method to try. Well, you're in the right place, because who has time for confusion when you're trying to build a business, find love, heal and recover, or leave your partner or job? I'll turn that mumbo jumbo into clear, actionable steps that fit easily into your life. So buckle up, open that heart chakra, and let's cut through the cosmic fluff together, shall we? Good fortune favors the bold and those who aren't afraid to call it like they see it, right here on the Breathe, Love, and Magic podcast.
Hey, this is Ronnie, and I have a podcast recommendation for you. My friend Melissa Oatman has a fabulous podcast. I love it. I listen all the time. Awaken Your Inner Awesomeness. Are you ready to embark on a journey of spiritual growth and personal development? Look no further. Her captivating podcast is going to guide you towards living a more authentic and joyful life. Whether you're experiencing a spiritual awakening or simply seeking ways to enhance your well-being, her podcast is tailor-made for you. Join her as she delves into topics like self-improvement, manifestation, mindset transformation, spiritual enlightenment, anxiety relief, and even unlocking your psychic potential. Get ready to unlock the secrets to a more fulfilling and empowered life. I hope you'll listen to Awaken Your Inner Awesomeness and enjoy it like I do. And now I'm ready to give you an update on my spiritual journey to nowhere. If you're new to the podcast, I started a spiritual adventure last June or July, and the episode is called The Tipping Point in Life, My Spiritual Adventure. And that explains the whole story about where I've been going on this mapless journey without a guide. I won't rehash all of it. I'll just give you the update. Without question, this should be a podcast snack, but I'm just going to include it in today's episode because I'm very excited about what's going on. So recently I was talking to my friend Carrie, and I've mentioned her many times on the show, about wanting to do more energy clearing work. Practice is so important. I want to be really proficient, and I feel like my skills are already there, but practice just is good. The more you do, the better you get. Anyway, we were brainstorming, and she suggested that I lower the price for just a short time. Okay, not brain surgery, but for some reason I hadn't considered that. Beyond that, I hadn't even done my website. So I created the page for my website, and I posted the short-term lower price, and then I shared it with a different friend to get some feedback, you know, like, was the copy good? Did I have any typos? Was there anything I should change? What did she think? She not only loved the page, but to my surprise, she sent it out to her spiritual network of girlfriends. And that same day, three people signed up. Instant manifestation. I've never experienced anything quite like that. That's why I'm so excited to share about what happened. The next day, two more people signed up. And then a woman who took a workshop that I did in January this year signed up to have an intuitive session and reading. Oh my gosh, six sessions in just 3 days. I am so beyond myself. It was fabulous. Plus, I have one today. This has been a blast, and I feel so honored to be in the position to offer my services and help people and share what I've learned with others for their own empowerment. I love doing the intuitive sessions and helping people figure out what lessons are going on, what's happening in their life, and why, gain that deeper understanding. When that light bulb goes on and somebody has an aha moment and gets a sense of peace and joy from finally getting it, whatever that is, oh, that makes my heart sing. And for some reason, I attract the most fabulous people to work with. They're open to hearing the information they've requested, they embrace it, and they feel relief and happier and more in charge of their destiny, so they feel empowered, which to me is awesome. The energy clearings have been nothing short of amazing. We have cleared ancestral issues, relationship issues, negative energies, strings left over from ex-husbands or ex-loves, cleared property from vortexes and stuff, cleared beliefs that were no longer of service, did some chakra clearings, parental clearings, and blocks that prevented someone from feeling more energized, and so much more. I love doing this work and seeing the change and how clients feel once the session is over and beyond. It's a thrill. So I wanted you to know how things were going for me on this journey. That's been about 9 months, my journey to nowhere with no guide and no map, which completely freaked me out at the beginning, but I guess I'm getting used to it. And I also wanted to say, if this resonates with you and you want to try the bioenergetic clearing at the drastically reduced price of just $50, it's only a temporary price decrease. So check it out today at intuitiveedge.biz/bioenergetic-clearing. Now the link is also in the show notes. If you decide this resonates with you, I so look forward to working with you soon. On this episode of the Breathe, Love, and Magic podcast, we're going to be talking with my friend Jane, who I worked with for many years back in the days when I was doing freelance marketing work. And Jane is vibrant and full of energy and life and always fun, makes me laugh. Here's my friend Jane. Welcome, Jane.
Hey, Ronnie. It's fun to be here.
I love this, Jane. When we were talking, you're like, I'm retired and now no one can fire me. I thought, oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Well, it's true.
So now you're free to be you and say anything? Is that what you're saying?
I guess, Ronnie, for sure, because I didn't say it when I was working a lot.
So now being retired has made you bolder.
I think so.
So let's just give the preamble for what we're going to talk about today, which I call masterful reframing or repositioning. Tell me a little bit about yourself. You've been a mentor for a while. Tell me about that.
Yes, I started mentoring maybe, 15 years ago. And really what it requires is going into the school system one day a week for 1 hour, and you work with a student who's typically needs a little extra attention. And you work on schoolwork, but you also work on conversation.
How old are these kids?
Anywhere from like fourth grade up.
Why do you do that? What's in it for you?
Well, you know, it's always a two-way street. I think when you try to help somebody, you just walk away feeling good about what you did. When I first started, which was a long time ago, Ronnie, I used to do it while I was working and nobody knew. I would just leave and then come back. You know, you start to realize that these kids need a lot more than what they're getting in the classroom. There is a big need out there.
You're kind of offering attention and support, giving them a little extra nurturance.
Yeah, and some academic guidance, too.
Okay, good.
We do try to work on homework that they're struggling with. And honestly, I could struggle with it, too. Math is all the whole new technique today.
I remember that when I was a kid, my father would try to help me with the math and he could get the answer, but he didn't do it the way the teacher wanted us to do it.
Right, exactly. I just can't tell you how to do it.
And it would make him mad because he'd be like, I have the answer. And it would make me mad because he couldn't do it the way the teacher wanted. And it was always a little bit frustrating. But anyway, this is the story I want to tell today. So now you have a mentee and it's a young girl. How old is she?
She's 12.
So what's the situation? What happened? Tell us the story.
Okay. The first time I met Emily, she was very shy. She was struggling in school. Her mother is a single mom, speaks Spanish, very little English. When I was introduced to her, the school mentioned to me that she was struggling academically and could I help her? That's how it started. And I realized the first time I met her, she was extremely isolated, very few friends. And because her mother was single, she would go home after school and have to stay at home. Her mother was at Protective and was working. So her world was very small. And I could just see in an hour what a difference, you know, how lonely she really was.
Wow.
So that was an eye opener. She really was earnest about wanting help in math. That was a great springboard because she wanted help.
Yes.
And I was able to help. The next meeting we had, she brought me a gift. And
really?
So that to me was, I realized this girl is such a sweet person and in such need of a friend that I just connected with her very quickly. Yeah. I did not want to miss a week.
Oh, that's so wonderful. So you made a heart connection really fast.
Yes, we did. At the end of the year, she was going to stay back. And you start to realize not only was she going to stay back, but what was hurting her, she wasn't having any fun. They have a thing in the school called the buddy bench when you go out to recess. And you sit on the bench and hopefully somebody comes and sit next to you. And she would sit on the bench and nobody would come.
Oh.
So, you know, you hear these stories.
Yeah.
And I just think the school was not the right place for her. So she switched schools and stayed back a year and is doing so much better. She's getting good grades.
That's good to hear.
Very good. And I thought everything was going along fine. So I pick her up once a week after school. And then lo and behold, I get this text from her mother saying, here's a message from the school. And it was just from one teacher. And it said, she's failing and she's been doing it consistently in this class. And if she doesn't pick it up, she will fail the class. And the mother said, could you please speak to Emily about this? So I thought, absolutely. I'm driving to school trying to think, well, what am I going to say to this girl?
Yeah, because she doesn't want to stay back again.
No. And I thought, it's one class. It wasn't, she was failing everything. So I felt like, okay, she's got some other positive momentum going. But I didn't want to punish her. I didn't want to yell at her. I didn't want to say study harder. You know, all of that's going to go in and out. And
yes.
I picked her up. We went over to McDonald's and we're sitting there having a drink. And I said, you know, I gave her a piece of paper and I said, could you just write down every class you have and the teacher and a little comment about how you think you're doing? Well, art, A, music, this, everything was fine until the very last and very tiny writing was math. I don't like this teacher. She's boring. She's mean. And I said to her, well, your mother wants me to talk to you about how you're doing in this class because the teacher sent her a note and said that you're going to be failing this class. So she said, yeah, she's just mean, boring. I just yawn. I just can't wait till it's over. Nobody likes her. And I kind of listened to it. And I said, you know, if I was the teacher, I'd probably flunk you too. And, you know, I'm listening to you. I said, this doesn't really sound that great. I said, you know, can't give you the answers to the test, but I think what I can tell you, if you listen to me, is a way that you won't flunk. I can't say you're going to get an A, but I can guarantee you won't flunk. And she kind of said, yeah. And I said, well, this is a very adult concept. And I'm saying it's an adult concept because when you grow up, you're going to have jobs that you don't like. You're going to have bosses you don't like. In fact, you're going to have other teachers you don't like.
Yeah.
And we have to deal with that. And there's a code that we use, and it's called playing the game. So she looked at me and she goes, yeah. And I said, well, this is how it works. You got to show that you're interested. I don't care if you are or not, but you got to raise your hand. You got to ask questions. You got to ask for help. You got to maybe even move your seat, sit up front. But it's a game. You're kind of just giving a little effort. You don't have to really like it, but that's what you do. And she turned to me and she said, you know, I think I can play the game.
You were suggesting that she pretend she was interested?
Even if she's not.
I was
telling her, you got to pretend. And the upside is you might even find you like this once you get interested. But you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And right now, you got to make an effort, even if you don't want to. You got to make an effort.
Because her yawning and her complete lack of interest and, in a way, disdain for the teacher, let's just take a step back and go, you know, the teacher can feel that. Energetically, the teacher can feel this kid hates me or she doesn't like it here. She's bored. She's not listening. She's not paying attention. And then that creates an attitude for the teacher as well, right?
Absolutely. She's sitting in the back of the class. Move to the front. Make eye contact. So a week goes by and I pick her up, gets in the car and I say, how's school? Good. You know, the typical. And I said, well, how's that teacher, you know, that you're having trouble with? She goes, well, today she smiled at me.
Oh, my gosh.
So I said, well, what do you think that's about? She said, well, I moved my seat to the front of the class and I started looking at her. And that's all she said. But I think she's starting to see her behavior is creating the teacher's new behavior.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll see. I'm encouraged.
You know, so this is why I wanted to share this story on my podcast, because it came from what I consider to be an unusual source, because I'm always looking for the spiritual woo-woo thing or whatever. And this is like pretty down-to-earth, practical, talking to a child about school and stuff. But this is what I mean by masterful reframing. Here she was. She had a belief system about math class, and she had a belief about this teacher. The teacher's boring. She's mean. She can't stand math. She doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So you enticed her in a way to consider changing her outlook. That's what reframing is, right? To think, you know, what if this was a game? What if this was an adult game? Like, that in itself is on the flattering side, don't you think?
Well, in a way, I'm kind of glad I used the word adult, because I think it elevated her, my thinking of her, you know, that she could handle this adult concept.
Yeah. And it's kind of like getting let in on a secret about being adult as a child, which is another masterful piece because it's all the same. Whether it's school or a relationship or work, the process is the same in a way. You know, you have to be interested. You have to put out the energy you want back. You have to contribute. You have to get engaged and be involved and participate. And when you hang back, then people come up with their own ideas about you. And you're leaving them to their own devices because you're not giving them enough input or feedback. So that's why I just think it's so masterful. And then look at how she responded. Like what you said was just simple. You didn't belabor it. There was no threatening. But you enticed her into thinking this is a game that she could play and potentially win. And she's already on a better path if the teacher actually smiled at her. I can't believe she moved her seat. Like I didn't know that it would even be possible. A lot of times the seats are assigned, so that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, yes. And now, Ronnie, we're talking way before we know the end of the story.
Oh, it doesn't matter because she had a week that was more positive than she ever had before with that teacher.
Exactly. So I'm looking forward to seeing her this week. I mean, this is just such a simple thing that you have the ability to see some positive in it. But what's it enabling me now when I pick her up after school is I've got a new level of dialogue with her about this specific class. You know, it's not just the grade. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, what did you do to help change the dynamic that's going on between you and this teacher?
Yeah, because what you showed her is that her actions cause reactions. And so that if she changed her actions, she could get a different reaction and enjoy that. And so that's what happened, right? You said, you know, sit up front, act like you care, ask questions, participate, pretend. And she seems to have done that to some level enough that the teacher smiled at her. And then it sounds to me like that thrilled her.
Yes, she was pretty excited about that. So I'm excited. So we'll have to see, Ronnie.
Another thing that's so amazing to me is it's a huge lesson in a tiny way that's enormously empowering because she just went from feeling like, I'm going to fail, I'm a failure, I hate the teacher, I hate the subject, I just want to yawn, she's mean, to look what I did. Yes. I moved my seat, I'm getting involved, and she smiled at me. So she got to feel the power of her positive actions. I'm so excited about this. And like when you told me the story, I was completely enraptured by the possibility of such an easy shift that made this massive potential transformation. And like you say, you'll see what happens. But right now I'm enthralled because
we're going to do this while it's good.
Sure. Because we can all benefit from that masterful reframing and thinking about what do you hate? What do you not like? What's dragging you down? What's sucking your energy? And sometimes we can't change those things. Sometimes we can. Sometimes we can get a new job or restructure our debt or whatever it is that's dragging you down as an adult. Sometimes you just have to have a different attitude and consider what's the silver lining, what's the benefit, where can I win with this?
Yeah.
And then when you start asking that question, you change the vibration, you change the frequency, you lift your energy, and that sets a ripple going in the right direction.
Yeah. And you know, as I'm listening to you, I was just thinking, this girl is so shy and lacks a lot of confidence that now that I'm thinking about it, moving her chair was probably the only thing she felt comfortable doing at this point because she probably didn't have enough confidence to ask a question because she's so removed from the mat. So she bit off what she could.
Yes.
And it'll be interesting to see as the class progresses, can she start asking questions or raise her hand and start participating?
Yeah.
But to me, that was what she could do at the time.
It's just so fabulous because she could sit there and not change anything, or she could take action, which she did and was rewarded for.
Yes, thank God. Yes.
Yes. And so that's why I wanted to talk to you about this, because who couldn't benefit from this lesson? Who couldn't enjoy winning more? I mean, there are so many things in life we have to do that we don't want to do, we don't like to do, and it depends on how you look at it. And that's part of the reframing. So if you think about what's taking you down in life, what's dragging you down, what's making you feel negative, and what can you do to shift that perspective? I'll give you an example. I don't really love to exercise. I'll just be vulnerable. I'll admit it. I don't want to do it. I don't know. I have a girlfriend. She loves to move. She wants to move all day. She wants to walk. She walks like 5 miles a day. I'm like, I'm exhausted just thinking about that. So anyway, it's just not the way my body is. But anyway, I have to move. And so one of the things I was thinking about, and I thought about this about 15 years ago, and then every once in a while, I have to kick myself in the butt and think about it again. You're lucky you can move. Mm. And you better move, because use it or lose it, what are you going to do? Are you going to wait till you're so stiff and whatever? You can't move. Like, you know, what's a good thing about this? I am lucky I can move. I am lucky I have this ability to walk down the street and look at the trees and see the daffodils are starting to come up. Like, that's a very similar reframing. So I can look at how I don't want to exercise, I hate it. Or I could say, I'm lucky I can move.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So have you done this anywhere in your life for yourself?
As far as trying to reframe something?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Something simple last week, pickleball. And I play, you know, it's a round robin, you play with different people. And there's this one person I don't particularly like to play with because she's always telling me what to do. And I don't think she's the person that should be telling me that. However, I played with her and we talked afterwards. You know, once I got to know her, you start to think, oh, well, this is why she's telling me this stuff, because she's a teacher in her profession. So it changed my opinion of her.
Yeah.
Now I can understand why she is the way she is. And that's probably not the best example, but it's the...
All examples count.
Okay.
Because it's a part of living. It's a part of how you're moving through the world. It's a part of how you experience life. And so it doesn't matter if it's a work-related thing or a pickleball thing or a mentor thing. Doesn't really matter what you're using it for. It has the ability to shift your life for the better, to open up possibilities, to have you see things in a new way, and to shift your energy from contracted, negative, limited. I don't like that woman. I don't want her talking to me. She's ruining pickleball. I'm not going to go back. Or you could say, well, let me just talk to her a little and see if I can learn anything. Yeah. Who is she and why is she the way she is or whatever? And I'm sure you weren't that calculated about what you were doing, but your instinct was, well, let me just talk to her and see. Then you were like, oh, you had a better understanding. You gave yourself the opportunity to learn something about her so that you could take it in and shift your belief system, because that's really all it is. We have all these things in life that we think are the truth, but they're really belief systems. They might not be true at all. They might be true for you in the moment, but then you might have another truth as you start to talk to somebody or learn something about it. I'll never forget this. When I worked at General Foods, I had a boss who I hated with deep passion. I hated him so much that I had to learn how to be nice above that. And so I would do something that I called investment banking. So investment banking was any time I could think of anything nice to say or share, I would go talk to him, because most of the time I just hated him. And so I called it banking because I was trying to fill the bank for when I would blow up or do whatever and not be able to take him anymore, right? That was the best I could do at the time. So that was my investment banking. All right. So now move forward a year and a half, and I hate my new boss too. I just didn't belong in that company. I was a square peg. I didn't fit in the round hole. But anyway, but this man was even worse. The new boss went and talked to the first guy that I had hated to say, how did you deal with this woman, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And so first boss I hated was Bob. And Bob said, if you just let her do her work, she'll get it all done for you. Leave her alone. So I found this out because we all went out for drinks one night. And, you know, this was maybe a month later. Bob said, hey, I was talking to your boss. I'm like, you were? What was that about? You know, and he told me what happened. And then he looked at me and he said something like, did I do good? And I thought, oh my God, all these years, this man just wanted praise. He just wanted me to like him.
Aww.
And I was clueless because I hated him. It just blew me away. I just remember being thunderstruck, standing there going, whoa, how did I miss this?
Wow.
He just wanted to be liked, and I hated him, which is why I did the investment banking and tried to think of nice things to say, because I knew I was just difficult. Anyway, so that's what I learned. So then I praised him, and I said, thank you, Bob, because that made a big difference, I'm sure. And how wonderful of you to support me after all this time. And I appreciate the good things you said about me. Like, he said good things about
me. Oh, my gosh. That worked both ways. Oh, my God. That one works both ways, Ronnie.
It did.
It's interesting.
But this one just worked both ways with you too. Like you were saying earlier about the mentee thing, it works both ways. You feel good when you help somebody. The opportunities for you to shift from that negative thinking, the negative belief system that we are entrenched in and believe full body, we believe this is true because it's our experience, but it might not be.
Might not be.
And it could be the littlest thing, the idea of playing a game as an adult or playing a game to see, can I tweak this? Can I change this? How can I shift this for the better? Where can I open the doors? Where can I see the possibilities? And that's why I said this was masterful reframing on your part. And you just must have amazing instincts. And obviously you're drawn to working with the kids and stuff. I'm so impressed.
Well, Ronnie, thank you. You know, just one last thing. As you were saying, it becomes fun, not work.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what I think kind of was the appeal here. So stay tuned. I'll keep you posted.
Good. I can't wait to hear more. And to be honest with you, Jane, that's why I do the work I do now. Not the marketing stuff anymore, but all the intuitive work and the energy clearing, because it's just becomes fun. Like when I see my clients light up because they understand something or they let go of something or they see new opportunities and they feel empowered. It's so fabulous.
I know, Ronnie, you're so good at it. I love that you do it.
Thank you. Well, Jane, thank you so much for sharing this story today. I personally was incredibly inspired, and I hope it inspires other people wherever they are and whoever they're interacting with, right? There are other possibilities you may not have considered if you're willing to play the game.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jane.
Thank you for joining me in this sacred space on your journey to clarity and spiritual growth. If you're at a crossroad in the middle of a life crisis or challenge, try intuitive coaching or book an intuitive or past life reading at intuitiveedge.biz. Enjoyed our time together? Please rate, review, and share this podcast with a friend to spread the magic. Until next time, this is Ronnie Ann Ryan, wishing you love and magic.